Check 1, 2, the Cash Stuffs podcast. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, wherever you are. It's busy here. We've got Tess in today. Tess, how are you?
I'm good.
How are you feeling there? Good,
yeah, ready to roll.
Yeah? You feeling better now?
Feeling, yeah.
Yeah, Tess is our co-host. She couldn't make the last couple of episodes because she's not feeling great, but we're happy she's back here today. Luke, no face, no case. How are you, mate?
I'm good. How are you?
That's all right, mate. I'm all right. It's got a little bit of sun out, innit? See the tan? It's looking all well, innit? We have a special guest today. We have Mr. John Gordon from Dorset Cruises. We want to have a chat with him about himself, about obviously Dorset Cruises. It's for those listening, God knows where in Mali or Malaysia, dorsetcruises.co.uk is a charter company.
Pay a visit.
Yeah, check the link, innit? Yeah, we give you a visa, innit? You can come through. It's all right. We'll take you to Rwanda, though, but you can still try and come through. So we've got him down here because we want to try and... Obviously, the world's reopening up again. He's in the hospitality business as well. And like as most everyone, he was affected by the pandemic. We all were. But everything's coming back up again, and we want to see what he's been up to, what he's been doing during the pandemic. And... what future plans he has with Dorset Cruises. So, John, introduce yourself, sir.
Yeah, good morning, guys. I'm John Morgan, Captain Morgan
of Dorset. Oh, that's good!
Yeah, it's meant to be, wasn't it? So, yeah, good. Like I say, happy the sun's out and looking forward to a good summer now.
Oh, fantastic, mate. John, let's start with a little bit of background history about yourself before we go into, obviously, what you do and what you do, obviously, in the county of Dorset and Bournemouth in particular. Poole, sorry. Yep. Let's start with yourself. Family man?
I'm not, no. I've got my mum and dad live locally.
So yeah?
See them once a week. Went to watch West Ham with my dad on Thursday.
Oh,
massive.
Getting West Ham fans over here, isn't
it? It's a good time.
I thought that was a requisite to come on.
What a game, eh?
Yeah, so that was amazing. So, like, yeah, I just watched that with my dad. So that's good to have a bit of family time. I've got a brother who lives in Nottingham with my niece.
So, Bournemouth, Bun and Bread or Dorset?
Bournemouth Hospital, yeah.
Yeah?
Maternity
ward. Oh, that's right. And is it too rude to ask you how old you are?
Yeah.
Okay, let's go there. Well, for those for those listening to this, John looks 28.
Yeah, that's it.
Looking fresh. And so let's talk about Dorset Cruises. But before we do that as well, we want to find out the stuff you did before Dorset Cruises happened. You've come from a sales background, don't you?
Yeah, so when I was a teenager, I worked on boats. So that's where the idea of Dorset Cruises came from. Mm-hmm. I used to work in property sales. I lived in Holland, Spain, Thailand. I was away for 7 years.
Wow.
But that's it. So I was born in Poole. So when I came back, it kind of it brought it all back.
Yeah.
Like the love I got for this county. And
oh, that's brilliant. Poole. I mean, what's the inspiration behind, obviously, acquiring Dorset Cruises? Because it's been going on for a while. And why did you think it's a thing you wanted to do and take it forward?
Yeah, so when I came back from Thailand, I was walking along Poole Quay. Saw this boat, Dorset Queen, was doing a trip to Wareham, so I brought a ticket on my own, just went on the cruise, and I was like, wow. It brought back that teenage job, and I thought if I had this boat, rather than just doing a cruise around the harbour, I could do events on it, and yeah, it was just a small idea that took off, and yeah.
Grew and grew. And how long have you had it for? How have you been running it for now?
So that was like January 2016.
Okay. For those Dorset Cruises, it's a vintage vessel. A little bit of background history, obviously, John's going to tell you more about it. But from what we checked, it's 84 years old.
Yep.
It was built up in Scotland.
Yep.
Okay. It actually was, it's a historical vessel because it was part of the war effort in the 1940s as well. And it's a multi-award winning vessel as well, as recent as 2021. It's won an award in 2021, from what I checked as well.
I've lost count of the awards, but
it's a lot. I've got it all listed here. But you tell us about the vessel itself and why I personally think it's a historical significance for the country. It's got a couple of records. The thing we talk about the Gin Cruise as well that started in 2017. So if you give us a background about the vessel itself and why we think it's something that should be celebrated, really.
Yeah, I think this is where I'm lucky. Is hopefully my events are good and people enjoy them, but the boat. Is a lot of it. People buy into the romance of the boat. So, yeah, she was built 1938. 2 years later, the war happened, and she was requisitioned by the Navy. Believed to have gone to Dunkirk. I'm not allowed to say 100%. We know we know it went. But say there was 100 boats that were listed, 1,000 went. Unless you're the 100 listed, you can't say it. But it did.
When it was requisitioned, what was it used for? Was it to food supplies or the army itself? Like, do you have a history or a knowledge of what it was used for during the war?
No, I mean, this is it. So it was from Scotland, so they requisitioned it, brought it to the south coast. And this is how we know it went to Dunkirk, because the depth it draws, 1.3 metres, the fact that it carries 100 people now legally, it would have been about 400 soldiers from Dunkirk. So there's no way they would have taken that boat to the south coast and not gone to Dunkirk.
Yeah,
but I think that was the key reason behind it.
So it takes 100, and at the moment, does it still take 100 now? Or
legally. So because we're a passenger boat, we're licensed by how many people could sit down in a seat and the life-saving equipment that could save them. So we've got 100 people. Because we do events, not sightseeing, so we limit it. The most I go to is 75, and that's on a private charter. For our own ticketed events, it depends on the event, but the gin cruise is 50. Afternoon high tea, we do 25. So it's about getting the event right. You don't want to just cram people on.
That's true. And is it... Because when I checked on the site, so you said about 25 in some events and 50 in some. Is there a reason behind it? Is it equipment-wise or the things that have to use it?
So with afternoon high tea, we've got a lovely sunny day today, but we have to plan every event as if it was going to rain. Otherwise, if you were so stupid to plan it for sun and then go, oh, no, it's raining. So we live in England, don't we? So... If it rained, we can do all of these events. So 25 for afternoon high tea. We've got 4 saloon tables with the towers with all the sandwiches. And then we've got 3 tables on the back deck, the aft deck. So that will seat 25 people.
Okay. Is that in the inside part of the boat?
Yeah. So if it rained, nothing changes.
So what happens with one of the cruisers that say have 50 and then it rains?
Because with the gin cruise, they're not sitting there eating. They're drinking, so you can put more people on the tables.
Oh, okay, I see.
So again, it's about getting the ambience right. With the gin cruise 50, if it were to rain, I would probably call some people and say, do you want to move date and try and get it down to like 40?
Yeah.
But we could still do it with 50, but it'd be
just
better
a bit
with 40.
Of a squeeze, yeah.
Yeah. But what we tend to do is, if it was a day like today and we had a gin cruise, 50 people, we'd sell tickets on the quay and go up to 60, 70 because we know we can
use it. Because you know it's going to be guaranteed sunshine, yeah.
Yeah. And it's not a hard sell. People walk down the quay, see the boat. And we say, do you want to come on a gin cruise today?
I would. I'd be there.
Yeah. We'll do it later.
So, obviously, it's now mostly used for, obviously, people can charter it. But you also have in-house events that you guys do in-house. Like you got 3 today, for example. Are those mostly in-house, or have some of them been booked in chartered as a private independent event thing? Or
so when I first started it, again, it was an idea. I loved the boat, so this is how I know it's easy for other people to fall in love with it, because I did. So it started just doing private charters, and the gin cruise was my first event where I thought, I love gin, I've got a boat, and it went national news, it went crazy. But the thing was, is by doing the ticketed events, of course they make money as well, but it's like a shop window. So someone, it's a lot of money to charter a boat in the grand scheme of things. So someone comes on a £40 ticketed event and then goes, wow, I could do this for my birthday. And that, so it's basically a shop window as well, ticketed events.
So it's 2017. Like I did a little bit of research. World's first gin cruise. Mm. What brought that idea up?
Yeah, so I didn't know that. I'd say I just had a boat and I like gin. I was like, I'll do a gin cruise. So I phoned loads of gin companies, got them to send me free samples of gin, and that was an amazing few weeks. I was literally just the boxes of free gin turning up every day at the office. I was like, wow. And then I phoned the Bournemouth Echo, and my literally opening gambit, they answered the phone and said, do you like gin? And they're like, so who is this? I said, oh, my name's John, I've got a boat, we're doing a gin cruise. I'll give you 3 tickets, like 4 or 6 of you, if you do a pre-story about it. So they did, and then this is how I realise now how media works. Slow news days and all these others. So Metro, like they did it, Evening Standard, they just basically copied the story and it just went boof, went national news. And I had Conquer Gin's PR company phone me up and say, how have you done this? And I was like, So it just happened. It was just organic, but it really put us on the map. And yeah, it was.
I think the organic side of it, it's if when it's not really planned and it literally just blows up, it just kind of feels good, innit?
Oh, yeah, it was mental. I'd say I was there. All these messages were coming on Facebook. I think the first night it was on Facebook, and I was up till 3 in the morning replying to every message just because I was so buzzing from like the response. Yeah, it was great.
Do you have to do much advertising? And obviously, you've got the website, you've obviously got social media. Do you have to actually do much advertising, or is it like return customers?
Well, the amazing thing. So we've got a marketing company, B4B, so they do our social media. But we get so many bookings, like say in the winter, it's like, well, we're not advertising at all. I think I did a post in November And then we didn't start advertising again until March, and we were taking all these bookings. So it's like, where are they coming from? So it must be word of mouth and repeat business, which is...
Yeah. I mean, word of mouth is still obviously the best form of promotion and stuff. In terms of... is it a seasonal thing? Do you have... It should be, isn't it? The certain times of the year you don't really go out. And what are the seasons? When does your event year in the calendar year start?
Yeah, so for our ticketed events, we do them April till September. Mm-hmm. And then historically, we shut down all winter, so you have to make all your money in 6 months and then shut down. But since the pandemic, in the winter, we did run, again, without advertising it. We were doing probably 2 trips a week, private charters only. So we're thinking, moving forward, if we actually advertise it, then, you know, if we could be out 4 times a week in the winter, when we wouldn't have been out at all in the old days, it's a big difference, isn't it?
I mean, it's getting warmer now, isn't it? I remember October last year, it was still very warm. We're still wearing shorts in October, so we could still think it...
I done my mum's birthday in January a few years ago, and that was 50 people on there. We've got, say, inside we can keep 50 people. We've got heating, so in the winter we just limit the numbers to 50 max.
Yeah, that makes sense. All right, so we're going to come into the big P, the pandemic. Like I mentioned earlier in the episode, that it obviously affected everyone. When it happened, I think everyone here is in agreement that hospitality was mostly affected. But I think that's what I think anyway. Yep. How did you feel? What did you think? And how did you, just your thoughts on that? When because you have a business to run.
Yeah, I did cry.
I think everybody did.
I cried like every day.
when he made the announcement, like, we all knew it was coming.
Yeah.
But you didn't want to believe it was coming. Mm-hmm. Surely they're not going to shut us down completely. But so I went to the Lord Nelson pub. The lady that owns that's like a friend of mine.
Yeah.
There was loads of the locals and local pub owners on the quay all just sat around the telly. Not, that would never happen in a pub, would it, unless you're watching football?
Yeah, exactly.
We were all there watching Boris Johnson, and then it was just like everyone just crying, cuddling each other, like, what are we going to do? And at that time then, you really didn't know you were going to get any support, any help.
Yeah, because at the time, we all thought it was going to be like a 3-month thing, didn't it? And
like
that was it.
3 weeks, right?
Yeah, but that's, I mean, it was the unknown. And that's what annoyed me as well, is they, I think it was like a week later, they said, right, and this is the support package for hospitality. But in that week...
No one had
literally just
idea.
Not sleeping, you know, just not knowing what to do. And you've got all these, like, your staff asking you what's still happening. Well, I don't know the answers, but you can't be, they're scared
people,
as well.
Like you said, didn't think it would really come to a lockdown. Mm. You know, I think it was just such a shock for everyone as well. And they just announced it and everyone was like, oh.
Well, yeah, so I mean, we sort of knew it was coming, but at the same time,
people like,
you
they
can't
weren't really
shut a
though,
country,
really,
can you?
Yeah.
Or shut a world.
It was because... We kind of knew 2 months before it, because it's now in France and it's now in Ireland, and it's getting closer now. Oh, we found one in Newcastle. So, it was still in Bournemouth here, and it's getting closer. Then we found one in Southampton. It was just creeping every day. Yeah. In terms of, obviously, that hit you hard. It hit everyone hard. How did you manage to cope? Hospitality was shut down. The vessel was shut down. The Dorset Cruises as a business was shut down. Staff, how did you cope with the staff? How did they cope? It's obviously it affected everyone's mental health in one way or the other.
Yeah.
What did you do and what did you put in place for the staff to keep them, obviously, still keep that buzz about them, not to feel down? I mean, I know most businesses had to let staff go up. Obviously, some went on furlough. But in terms of Dorset Cruises and yourself, from obviously mum and dad... It's the whole sit down and you can't see anyone. You have to stay on your own. How did you cope with that in terms of on a personal level and also with the business side of it?
Yeah, so the staff one was really hard because we have a couple of people that are full time. The rest of them, and we're talking like 15 people, come start in April and finish at the end of September. And they do it each year because they love their job.
Yeah.
And they just do, you know, bar work and things like
and
that.
And it happened before April as well, isn't it? Yeah.
Yeah, so we couldn't follow them. If it had been a couple of weeks later, we could have done. And it was heartbreaking, but at the same time, we can't afford to pay full-time wages out of our pocket. So, but
that
must have
been really hard.
It was, and I lost some really good people because of it, because they had to go and get office jobs or something they could do. Mm. And now, it's just, we're still friends and
have you been able to kind of reinstate any of those jobs? I suppose it was 2 years ago now. But
yes, they've just found other careers. But say we've all stayed in contact. Scarlett, who I absolutely love, but she's now working in recruitment. But she's got her birthday on the boat next weekend.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, big up, Scarlett. Happy birthday.
Yeah, yeah. So, we're still trying to enjoy it. But it's really sad losing them.
And so let's move forward a bit. We're still in 2020. So the pandemic's happened and we've got, was it June? when it started getting eased a bit, when obviously sit down, table of six, blah, 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 curfew. Yeah. Did that, I'm trying to figure out, did it actually, were you able to do anything with that with regards to Dorset Cruises?
We were, but it was pointless. We were running at a loss. But it was kind of keeping the brand alive and mm-hmm. letting people know we're still here. Mm-hmm. But I couldn't go on the boat. I went on the first gin cruise and it was, I think it was 12 people because we had to cap numbers and sit in different areas. And again, plan it as if it was going to rain. So that was 12 people is what we could fit inside. So I went on and I just couldn't bear it. Like, because I know what I'd say. Yeah. This isn't what I create. Yeah. People sat with masks 2 meters away from everyone else, not allowed to, you know, make eye contact. So I just couldn't bear it. So I just just let the staff get on with it. But again, it kept the brand alive.
Yeah.
People knew that we hadn't shut down. We've been shut down, but we're not willingly giving up.
Yeah. And what did you do with yourself to keep yourself busy? Because I think that's one of the things that most people try to do to keep that sanity going. What did you do? Is there anything, any other venture you did? Or
take up sports? Should have done. That would have been, yeah. I used to play squash, but then I wouldn't be allowed to do that, would I? So in the
because it's
social distance squash. Thing,
yeah.
Sweat and everything. I've done to BH Fish. So obviously with my connections to Paul Key, I know the fisherman. One of my best friends, if not my best friend, is the oyster farmer in Paul. So after the first, when we got locked down, sat at home like everyone else, just having a drink, another one.
TikTok.
Because I mean, I've still got loads of gin and no customers to drink it. So I was on the phone to my best mate and we're like, what are we going to do? We can't just sit here and drink every day for 3 weeks or whatever it's going to be. So we set up BH Fish and it was meant to be literally a pop-up business just to keep people focused to get the fishermen, because they had all these fish and they couldn't sell them anywhere because restaurants are shut. So I built a website on Wix, which I'd never done before, put all these fish on there. And first week we didn't even have the fish, but we knew roughly what we could catch locally. But we wanted to see if there was an interest.
Yeah.
And it went mad. And everyone was like, put all these orders in. So we're like, quick, get out fishing. We need to... obviously, if they hadn't caught, we would have refunded everyone. But they went out, they caught all the fish. And it went from there. But again, it was just meant to be a pop-up business. And it's still going now, 2 years later.
So basically, I think you're not doing it justice. What BH Fish, and you can correct me if I'm wrong here, did was, obviously, people don't allowed to go out. And you have, like I said, fishermen with fishes, but obviously they can't do anything with it. So you were like, BH Fish was more like the conduit between getting the fish from the fishermen and delivery to the end user, people who stay in at home who can't own all that to go, especially older folks as well.
Yeah.
So I think you need to talk more about that, because I think that was great, because you were providing a service that people could not, or were not even allowed to do. Because remember back then, when we even went down to supermarkets, we had to all queue outside.
Yeah.
So now you're delivering something door to door. That's, for me, I think that's essential work.
Yeah, no, it was. Yeah, so we were key workers. So every first, I used to stand out and take the applause.
Thank you.
I need applause, then, bro. Come on.
check. Obviously, there was real key workers out there that deserved that more than me. But so the fishermen would go out, catch fish, bring it to us. We'd fill it. Let's say it was on the website. Mm-hmm. People could choose to have it filleted or whole, and then it would get delivered to their house the next day. So it was good for the fishermen, it was good for the public, and it was really nice because people share things on Facebook, but seeing like 6-year-old kids, there's one that sticks in my mind, he's about 6, cooking a crab. That's education, isn't it?
Yeah.
Like, that would never have happened before the pandemic. So it's like, I'm doing something positives coming out of this.
How did you get the fish and stuff to people's houses? Did you have to kind of like collaborate with a delivery company?
We bought a refrigerator van. And I think, again, with the pandemic and lots of confusion and people, so that was just like people selling stuff that because they thought, I can't do what I'm doing anymore. So we're like, great. So we just got this refrigerated van.
So you did all the drop-offs yourself?
Well, we got a driver doing that. Yeah. And so I teamed up. So it's me and my mate Rob, and then my friend Sean owns the Crown Hotel, which is around the corner.
When we were
planning this mad idea, we're like, well, if people want it filleted, what are we going to do? Fill it in our kitchen at home. I can't fillet fish. Yeah. So I saw Sean walking past my flat to the offie, funnily enough. And I was like, he works in hospitality, he's feeling the same way I am. Yeah. It's Sean. And I said, you know, obviously your kitchen's not being used because you're hospitality. Yeah. Can we come to your kitchen, fillet fish? So we basically, the three of us, put BH Fish together.
Yeah.
And then one of his waitresses just became the delivery driver.
Oh, bless. Wow. So it gave people something to do as well.
Yeah, they kept us all sane. And that's, I think, the most important thing. Yeah. Like, what else would I have done?
Yeah.
And then we were all there. It was this camaraderie. And then because we were essential and food, people could come to the Crown and collect if they wanted to as well.
Yeah, yeah.
So we'd get people come in and you could tell like they hadn't spoken to anyone for a couple of days, and it's like it's
just ordering
nice
loads
thing.
Of fish just to get some like, conversation. Like chat,
yeah. Oh god, yeah, they're vegans really.
Oh mate, big up for that. Back to Dorset Crew. So what? Okay, you have the government assistance. Your thoughts on it? What did you get? What did you get? How did they assist you from local level to national level? To obviously try and you wanted to still keep the brand name out there. Yeah. It wasn't great because you obviously had to social distance 12 people instead of the normal numbers. You had. What sort of assistance did you get, or did you think they could have done more? Is anything you want to elaborate more on that side of it?
I think I can't knock it completely because we survived because of the help. But what I don't get is. Like I've seen films about pandemics. It's not like we didn't know this was ever going to happen. Yeah. It was going to happen one day. So why was there not something in place that, like I said, that week where we didn't know, we got shut down and there was no advice on what to do.
Yeah.
When I mean, I've only got a few staff, but think like huge companies, Weatherspoons, things like that. Mm-hmm. You've got thousands of staff saying, what do we do? Mm-hmm. We don't know the answer. So I just feel that that could have been planned better. Mm-hmm. We got the bounce back loan. So you've got to pay it back.
Yeah.
So yeah, it helped at the time, but then you've still got to pay it back. So it's not free money. And then also with the furlough and all the help the whole country's had, I mean, as we can see now, all the prices are going up on everything and people are suffering
now.
Hang
on for years, won't we?
Yeah, so it's not, it wasn't for free, was it? We're gonna, our future generations are going to have to pay this off as well.
Oh, mate, yeah, it's, poor grandkids whenever they have them.
We'll have to pay about 50 grandkids.
It's going to be insane. And, I mean, one of the things I told the team on this pod, we did not really want to go into talking about obviously the pandemic, coronavirus. It's I think everyone have their opinion of it. They've got their ideas on it. It's been spoken about loads of times, but from a business and a personal point of view, do you think that because some countries, like especially in the middle and far East Asia, they coped with it differently. They handled it differently. Are there things that you think we could have taken from other countries and applied to ourselves here with how we handled it as a whole? Obviously, it's a once-in-a-generation thing. It's hopefully it's never going to happen again. So it's not like, oh, we've... But do you think that there could have been ways to have improved what we did here in terms of how we coped the information that was out there from a business level and also... The easing back into normality, so to speak. Because I just think the South Korean way, I think that was a good way because they had drones out, they had like public transportation, it was sprayed every day, park benches, which we didn't have here. I personally think that we could have done that and still had some sort of people still going out, but trains were trains were shut down, buses were shut down. So I just think they should have some things I've seen other countries do that could have applied here that we're able to apply but we never did. I mean, do you think there's anything that we could have done more from a business level or from what you've seen from other countries doing? It's less more about the pandemic or the conspiracy, whatever. It's more about okay, this country did that. I think I kind of like what they did. We should have done that here. Do you have any take on that?
Be fair, where I was, and again, if I hadn't have done BH Fish, I probably would have been on the internet all day getting into the rabbit hole.
Yeah.
So I don't even know what a lot of countries, how they did handle it. I don't agree with loads of the things they did, and some of it, you know, well, a lot of it didn't make any sense. Yeah. There's no sort of...
Or eat out to help out.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. How did that achieve anything? And then you go to the supermarket and everyone's piled in there. And it's,
I always thought that was like the super sprayed zones was a supermarket. It was like, okay, it's not like you are disinfecting the trolleys or anything, but people are still touching stuff in the aisle. It just made no sense, but this is where we are. But
yeah, I think you know, sanitize your hands, don't cough on people. You know, it's just
basic decency.
Yeah, common sense. You'd have to shut down businesses and, you know, just be sensible with it. It just seemed it was all so over the top, and then... You know, I don't really read the newspapers and watch the news, and where I can help it anymore because of it's just
it's too much, right?
Pressing and just getting rammed what they want you to believe. But with the Partygate thing, it's like, did anyone expect that didn't happen? Look, I knew that happened without even being asked. Same. Of course, they were just carrying on as normal.
Of course, it's always them against us, isn't it? It's going forward, what plans have you got for Dorset Cruises? Anything new in the pipeline you'd like to add to what you already have at the moment?
Yeah, so the thing, like, so I love coming up with new events.
Yeah.
The thing is, where we're busier and busier all the time, it's just finding time to plan that event, find a date in the calendar, create the website page, sell it, and not neglect all the other things that are going on. But we're in talks with Mockapot in Westbourne about doing like a Sicilian cruise with them.
All right.
So that's going to be pretty cool. Yeah. Yeah, what else are we looking at? Oh, I want to talk to the owner of DKMY.
Okay.
Let's do a cruise with them. Yeah. So, because we've got the big 120 capacity boat now for parties. So it's actually a 200 capacity boat. But again, we limit it to 120, so it's the right vibe. So I was on there last Saturday for my birthday as a guest, and 120 people, and it's just, yeah, buzzing. DJ, SG Sounds
I'm
playing.
I'm doing one of these cruises.
Yeah, just...
good.
And what is it about cruising, being on the sea? I mean, it's... because people love doing it. Mm. It's something about it. What do you think it's... Why is that? What is...
I personally just love being by the water. So I said I've lived in different countries, but when I was in Amsterdam, I was on the canal. Barcelona, I live by the beach. Thailand, I live by the Sha Prai River, and then I live by Pattaya Beach.
Yeah.
So I just always need to be by the water. I don't even think about it. It's just when I look back, I think, oh, I was always by it. So it must be something in me that draws me to it. But like cruising around Poole Harbour and Poole Bay out by Old Harry's Rock, I've seen it millions of times, probably not an exaggeration, but I still go out there and just get lost staring at it because it's just beautiful.
Yeah, yeah.
And I think the new crew that we had yesterday was his first shift. And he'd come out and he was doing the barbecue on the bow. And he's like, this is amazing. Look at the views. I was like, this is the best place in the world. Yeah. It's sunny every day.
It takes you away as well, doesn't it? From just the busyness of life.
Yeah.
Just being out in the water, calming. That's what I find anyway.
Yeah, it's just away from all the hustle and bustle,
I mean, for those as well, obviously people who are not from around here who are obviously looking to do something different, where do you set sail off? Obviously, we know that already, but obviously tell people. And what places do you go to around the Jurassic Coast?
Yeah, so we leave from Poole Quay always. And the great thing with Poole Harbour is it's landlocked, so it's like a big lake. I know a guy who's got a boat company in Jersey, so they're in a marina. When they leave the marina, they're out at sea. So he has to cancel like 50% of his bookings, which is hard, isn't it?
Yeah.
Hard to plan. Whereas we know we can cruise, unless it's a hurricane, we can go. If it's a nice day like today, we can go to Old Harry, Swanage Bay, across to Bournemouth Pier. We don't stop at those places, we cruise past them.
Okay.
We go to Wareham. When it's a high tide, so we can get off there, people can go and eat at the Priory.
Yeah, so that,
so that's what we do, the wine
brunch,
tasting.
The brunch thing, isn't it?
Yeah, we do Sunday brunch, we do the wine tasting cruise where we go to the Priory, and also Conquer Gym, we do a cruise with them, and we go to the Priory, which is like an amazing Pride of Britain hotel. Yeah.
Also, regards to the places you go to, I want to ask you, like, the craziest private charter booking you've had, the craziest one, like the one that stands out, you're like, it's like, what and why?
There's so many, and this is why I love my job, is every day's different. Everyone, it's always good vibes because people want to be there.
Yeah.
They haven't just been thrown on a boat, they're there because they want to be there. And then our job is to maximise that good vibe, and that's why I've got such a great team, is we all love our jobs. So we're all smiling, we're all, you know, we love music and cranking it up. So there's so many stories I could sit here all day, but one day sticks in my mind from 2018, I think it was. So we had a corporate charter. He phoned me the week before.
Okay.
This is like in June. He's like, right, can I book you next Thursday? I went, next Thursday? And I said, well, yeah, we're booked out. I said, the only way I can do it is if you want to go in the morning. I can do 10 o'clock till midday. He's like, oh, we want to get drunk. I said, well, you get drunk in the morning. So he went, all right. So they done Sambuca welcome drinks at 10 a.m.
Oh, wow.
So they'd done a two-hour cruise and then dropped them off on Poole Quay, and then we were out. The next trip was Dorset Chamber of Commerce for like a networking cruise around the islands. So obviously quite sedate and sensible.
Yeah.
When we came back into the quay at the end of that one, there was all these people on the quay going, Captain Morgan. Chamber, like, who's that? I was like, oh, they were on before you. Like, before us. So like, And then the next charter after that was a lighting company. And they asked us to turn the music down. So this was the night charter. I was like, down. And it was like, so all the crew were like buzzed up with how the day had gone. So it was like the day was in reverse.
Yeah.
So that one always sticks in my mind. But that corporate comes back every year now, but they book a year in advance, so they can have any. Chamber of Commerce come back every year, and so do the lighting company. So again, this is what I love about the repeat business proves that we're doing it right.
Have you ever had any celebrities on board
that you're allowed to say?
No, not I can think of. We had a few for BH Fish customers, but I can't think of any celebrities on the boat. No, something we need to get move on to, isn't it? Really,
footballers and stuff. No.
And your worst booking experience? You don't have to mention the name of the company. And why was that bad?
So the first year of the gin cruise. So again, world's first gin cruise. So all people that got tickets for it, because it sold out so quickly, and we had like 12 dates. So people that were on there were like buzzing that they managed to get tickets to this cool event. And that one woman started shouting in my face because it was raining. It was an August cruise. She goes, I got this trip for August and it's raining. And again, we cut the numbers, so everyone's fine. They're inside. Yeah. I wanted to sit outside, enjoy the sunshine. I was like, madam, I can't.
You're not gone.
I think slightly out of my control there.
But her friends ended up apologising to me, and they disowned her. So she spent the night sat on her own.
Oh,
her friends,
was she drunk, or was just like a natural, typical Karen?
She was Karen. They said she's always like this. Because we have like different gin sponsors come on. I think it was 6 o'clock, and they had this Navy Strength. So we were giving everyone one, free sample of it, and said to her, she's like, nope. Just folded her arms and looked away. So she just sat on her own all night. And everyone else, the other 49 people were having a party, and she was on her own.
Crazy.
And that's the joy of working with the public, isn't it?
Yeah. If you had a choice to pick your anyone, right? So in a hypothetical world, to pick your ideal booking guest, who would he be?
What person or the way they act?
Anyone. So okay, if there's a call you wanted to get, so you sat down, so your phone rings, Dos Cruises, and someone on the other end of the phone said, "Yeah, I am this, that. I want to book Dos Cruise." Who would you like that to be, ideally?
Well, just the type of person I like is someone that's, and I don't mean this in a money grabbing way, but they've got no budget and they say, "Right, I just want you to plan the amazing day."
Yeah,
because we can get different entertainers on. We've had loads of different bands and singers and things like that. So and magicians. So if someone comes to me and said, "I've got no real budget, I just want you to put on an amazing day." Mm-hmm. That's what I'd love.
Okay.
Because I love planning stuff. So I would sort of go, right, we're going to go to Wareham. Mm-hmm. We're going to have a bit of time ashore. We're going to go to these pubs. We're going to have a comeback. There's going to be a magician. There's going to be a singer. Just plan.
Yeah?
Yeah.
That's brilliant. But that's what I was getting at. So I'll try and make it clearer now. who would you love to board the Dorset Cruises with you? It could be someone you grew up admiring, a role model, or your favourite artist. Who would you, dead or alive?
Well, I'd like Paolo Di Canio to come on.
Is it? Oh, yeah. Just down, isn't it?
Massive.
And, okay, that's fine. And is there an age limit for those who can book? Is it over 18s only, or can families book it?
So private charters, anyone can come.
Okay.
But our events, we say 12 upwards for, like, afternoon high tea. Mm-hmm. And the party cruises and things like that are 18s and upwards.
Okay, so private charter, anyone can book it as long as...
Because it's their boat. So what I don't want is to do an afternoon high tea and you've got a load of kids running around.
Nobody wants that, yeah.
Yeah, so, but it is a discretional rule.
Mm-hmm.
So I've had it often, parents will ring me and go, oh, my daughter's 6, she's really good. I'm like, that's fine. I just don't want to encourage it so we end up with a whole boat full of kids.
Yeah.
I won't bring mine then.
Yeah. They're all well behaved, yeah.
Another thing I wanted to ask you, which I saw on the site, I did find, what is a defaced ensign?
Oh, yeah, that's quite cool. So every boat has to find an ensign, so it's basically a red flag with the Union flag in the corner.
Yeah.
And it's a proper, that's a real legal requirement. Because we're a historic ship, we get a defaced ensign, so it's got a historic ship sign logo in the middle of the ensign, and you have to fly or carry a warrant, so basically we've got it in a frame in the saloon, that says we're authorised to do that.
Yeah.
So it's just quite a big deal. We're the only one that I know of on the South Coast.
Okay, and... Dorset Queen is now the only vintage motor yacht on the south coast of England and a proud member of the UK Historic Ships Register.
Yeah.
I'm guessing that's the union, or...?
It's a bit like being a listed building.
Yeah, oh, right, yeah.
So we're like, we're recognised, we're on the Historic Ships Register.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's just sort of kudos to the fact that the boat has got history. Yeah.
Back to the ensign side of it. So it's the only one authorised to fly that. And also, I mean, I'm trying to look at so many awards here. Anything I miss. So, 2018, got the UK's National Historic Ship Certificate. You got that. Triple award winner, 2019 BH Star Awards, including Corporate Venue, Event of the Year, and Transport categories as well. Dorset Cruises voted Best Charter Company in the South of England. Why? I mean, this is a time to big yourself up. Why do you think you've been winning all this? What have you done different? Or what have you done that you think... Obviously, winning the award is good, recognition is good, but is there something you've done differently? Because I'm guessing before you had it, they were not winning, I'm not trying to diss the previous owner, but they were not winning that much, were they?
No.
So what did you do? What,
Well, I'm the only one in the harbour, although there is a new boat that's trying to copy me, if you like.
To get a compliment, mate. Yeah, I know that feeling.
But yeah, I'm the only one that does events. They they do like just cruises to Brownsea Island or our harbour cruise with a commentary. And I came up with the idea of doing events on a boat. I don't know why people aren't doing it, but with all the events, they're not just hashed together. It's not like, right, I'll do a gin cruise, there's a Gordon's and tonic, have a good time. It's like there's loads of thought that goes into it and making sure it actually goes as advertised on the website on the night. And I think the biggest thing as well is nothing ever goes to plan. So if you're really rigid in your mind and it's, oh, it's all gone wrong, and you start flapping around, you just have to, like my brother said to me before, like be a swan on top of the water,
yeah,
and, you know, underneath you're paddling away, but don't let them see that. Every night, loads of things go wrong, but your customers don't find out about it because you put them right. And it's just learning to be sort of resilient and being able to sort of, mould and change with it as it goes wrong. I said yesterday's party cruise, the sound system didn't work at the start. We fixed it, so you've got to keep all the guests happy whilst you're fixing it, then fix it, and then get on with the night and everyone forgets about
mate,
it.
You've done amazing there, mate. Anything you want to add there?
I was just asking, so when you acquired the boat, was it quite shabby, like you had to... Did you have to completely like refurbish it?
No, I was really lucky. So the previous owner, he's a well-off man. He owns Marina in Poole. Right. He bought the boat and spent $250,000 refurbing her. When I bought her, he gave me pictures of how she looked when he bought her. And I was like, oh my God, I can't believe, you know, if it wasn't for him, Dorset Queen wouldn't exist.
$250,000 doing it up. Mm. Wow.
But she was about to basically be scrap and he saved her. So,
I'd already done with that.
Stuart Wilson, we owe him a tip the hat to him.
So you didn't really have to do much.
Still a lot of work every year, I mean, my first season, the engines, I think we were going through more oil dripping out of them than we were going through diesel. So after the first year, the biggest, it was $50,000 investment to have new engines put in. Wow. But now we've got, touch wood, sturdy engines and don't have loads of problems all the time. Yeah. Because she's a wooden boat, you know, wood rots. So every winter she gets pulled out of the water, you have to go round. We get inspected by the MCA, but you find, you know, if they didn't inspect us, we're still obviously going to look after the boat. So it's expensive. If we had a boat that was Dorset Queen made out of fiberglass, it'd be a lot easier, but it wouldn't have that character.
The character side of it as well. Mm. So events-wise, tell us about the big events. I mean, you have events there practically every week, but which one are you looking forward to? And which is there an event that's going to happen for a fest of its kind this year?
So we're planning this Mockapot one, and there will be. Oysters and Champagne was a cruise I did a few years ago.
Yeah.
So my friend's the oyster farmer, like I say. So the oyster beds in Poole Harbour, craft aren't allowed to drive over them. It's private land, land under the water. But because he's my best friend, what we did our Oyster and Champagne cruise back in 2017 or 18. So came on board, unlimited oysters. We had Pommery Champagne come aboard. It was unlimited champagne. I will tweak that next time. It was £150 a ticket and people wanted their money's worth. So as I was carrying them off at the end. So we cruised over the oyster beds. Mm-hmm. And my friend actually threw like a hook over the side of the boat and brought oysters onto the boat live.
Wow.
And he was doing a talk. And by that point, everyone was like, this is like world first. But, you know, come on. So I would tweak that event next time. But we are going to do that again. My favourite event probably is the gin and jazz we do on the first Sunday of the month.
Yeah, I've seen that.
So you have these three girls come on board, the Fifanellas, and they're just phenomenal. So they do postmodern jukebox. Modern songs done in swing, electro swing songs, jazz. Yeah,
I think the athlete overalls, isn't it as well?
Yeah, they always wear different, but yeah, they're always that was for a war themed one when they're wearing the overalls. Yeah,
they look good. Yeah,
So they're just so good. Yeah, and the good thing with postmodern jukebox is. It doesn't matter what age range you are. Because if you're old, you'll love the style. If you're young, you'll go, this is a Jay-Z song, isn't it?
Oh, that sounds
amazing. That's true.
Every month, is it?
Yeah, first Sunday of the month. So the first one's May the 1st. It's coming up. And they've actually written a song about me. So I was driving the boat. I was driving the boat one day, and this bloke was singing Dancing Queen by ABBA.
Uh-huh.
And I just messaged one of the girls and said, out there, but do you reckon you could redo the lyrics to this and do it on the next cruise? So they did. So they've done it like Dorset Queen. And there's quite a few little mentions to me in there, which like they go red.
Are you loving it? It's good.
Stop it.
But they get all the guests to sing it. So the first time they printed off the lyrics, and I didn't know about it. They did it like behind my back. So they were giving them all the lyrics to all the guests on board, and then they all came out, and the whole boat was singing it. So I didn't know anything about it. So it was really cool.
All right, so it's dorsetcruises.co.uk.
Yep.
Socials?
Yeah, I've got Instagram, Facebook, LinkedIn.
Yeah, oh, Dorset Cruises as well?
Yeah, at Dorset Cruises.
Oh, one word, right?
Yeah.
No underscore, dot, nothing in between.
I think so.
Are you sure?
I'm sure it's at
all right, Dorset Cruises, so dorsetcruises.co.uk. I will spell it out for you for those listening on audio. dorsetcruises.co.uk. We've got John Gordon, the CEO and owner.
Morgan.
Captain Morgan, isn't it?
Captain Morgan. I'm so sorry, mate. It's a bank holiday thing. I'll blame long COVID. Anything bad, it's long COVID.
I did do that last year, mate. Everything that went wrong, like I say, it's finding a way around it. We ran out of straws. We're like, oh, we're not allowed straws because of COVID. And they go, oh, okay. Not that I forgot to order them.
Before I let you go, sir, it's... Because I do events. I want to ask you something. And maybe you've thought about it before. And... Because when you have independent promoters, obviously hire a vessel in it, private charter, blah, blah, blah. What they normally do when he finishes at 11 or he docks back at 11, they have an after party at a club somewhere. Mm. And I know you do your stuff, some of the stuff you do in-house anyway. Have you ever thought of doing that as well, where it's, okay, we're going to take, it's a whole day and night experience. So we take you out for sale, come back, get off, and we just then ferry you or get a bus or a mini coach or whatever.
Yeah.
Have you done that before? Or?
We haven't. We've talked about it. So at the moment, the party cruise, for example, at the end of the night, they get a wristband to get Q Jump at Cameo.
Yeah.
But it's on them to get there.
Mm-hmm.
They get a 10% discount with PRC taxis. But we talked about doing like a student night where we do the party. We then get the money bus to Cameo and just make it the whole package a bit more.
Talk about that. I met a guy last week in Southampton, and apparently he's doing the first freshest fair boat party ever in Bournemouth. I don't know if he's spoken to you. I just randomly met him. He was trying to sell me in Southampton. So the combat thingy, my head COVID gone. Thingy,
laser quest
type, yeah. And so he was really out there. He just started chatting. So really, I said, even Bournemouth. He said, oh yeah, we've done a freshest ever boat party.
No, I haven't spoken to him.
He might have been blagging. he was very good. I said, mate, come and work for me, because he was good chat as well. But yeah, it's so you think of the same with the students as well, or just pass them back to Cameo, can finish the night off down there.
Yeah, it's just about having it more structured that we get them there and just keep them all together. It's just, like I say, I mean, it works how it works now, but it's just always trying to think of the next thing.
And but I think it might be easier in pool, didn't it? In pool, because obviously if they come off the vessel in pool and there's a place to go to in pool. Mm-hmm. I mean, I've not been out in pool for a while.
The thing with pool is, I mean, I love pool, but it's nightlife. You've got one nightclub, Soho. Single level nightclub.
Yeah.
Its capacity is probably 200, I don't know, but it's not going to be huge. So most of our guests for that cruise, party cruise wise, go to Bournemouth anyway afterwards.
Yeah.
So we get the discount with the taxi and we get them written to Cameo.
Yeah.
Right, admission reserved, obviously. We're behaving. So that's just how it works now. The thing is, where we're so busy as well, it's about getting it right, doing it well.
Mm-hmm.
If you get too complicated, then there's more stress and more things to worry about.
I know, it just adds on, isn't it? Yeah.
So imagine then I finished the cruise and then the minibus broken down. Like, oh, I just want to have a drink now. Like, I've done my day.
Anything you'd like to add, Tess?
No, I'm good.
Right, before we let you go, say a bit about sports. West Ham fan?
Yeah.
You think you're going to do it?
Yeah. I think it's like Mark Noble's last year. It's poetic. It's got to happen. Being a West Ham fan, what I would say is the second half of the other day, so the first half, heart palpitations, yep. Shot standard. Of whiskey halfway through, yeah. Second half, after we scored the third goal, I was just chatting to another fan, just looking at the telly every so often. I don't think I've ever watched a West Ham game. I've been that relaxed. So times have changed.
Yeah. I mean, were you guys, obviously, look, West Ham fan as well, were you disappointed not having to play Barcelona?
I was, because I used to live in Barcelona, that would have been poetic for me personally.
Yeah.
And I thought I would get tickets. It probably would have been really hard to get West Ham tickets.
Yeah.
I know people in Barcelona. I could have probably got a home side ticket. So, yeah, I was a bit disappointed with that. But
we got Eintracht Frankfurt. The last time you guys got to the semi-finals was against them 40 years ago. So maybe that's a sign.
Mm.
Right, so on that note, are you want to sing any West Ham songs and finish it off?
Nah, not today.
Forever Blowing Bubbles, you want to jinx it?
Not today.
John Captain Gordon, Captain Morgan, that's
Captain
it.
Morgan.
John Morgan, dorsetcruises.co.uk, socials, Dorset Cruise. Please support, they're doing great things on there. Probably will go on the cruise at some point this summer, on his vessel, and so I'll tell you my own personal experience. And like, I've never been on there, so I promise you.
Come and race rum and reggae.
I know. Yeah. It looks nice, and he's been in it for like 5 years now,
He's been doing it since my first season.
Yeah, so I need to give him a shout as well, because he's got the reggae festival as well. I need to speak to him about that as well. So I promise you, John, I will be there, if not on his thing, but definitely be one, maybe the Sunday, first Sunday of the month thingy.
Yep.
Swinging gin and jazz. I love that. Please check the socials. John's doing great stuff with it. BH Fish as well. Check their website, bhfish.co.uk. But Dorset Cruises, it's an institution. The vessel's got history. It is 84 years old. And John, thank you for coming through. Appreciate this, mate. Cheers.
For having me. Cheers.
Thank you very much.